Another topic is fear, and this is a good one because fear, they give a lot of scriptures and scriptural reasons for not being afraid. He says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." So there's many, many, many different scriptures under fear. I know I've gotten this many times, especially when I think about the future. "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and shall keep your foot from being taken." So a lot of times he will use these scriptures to tell me that he's protecting me. "And the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Who is it that will harm you if you are followers of that which is good? And in righteousness you'll be established. You'll be far from oppression. You will not fear from terror, for it will not come near your tent. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed, neither be confounded." Oh, I love this one. This is my favorite. "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You'll not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday." And that's, of course, Psalm 91, which is the premier, first and foremost, God's protection psalm. And the psalm that we refer to so many times for God's protection. "I've gotten food and clothing before." That's the next one. "And when I get food and clothing," the Lord is saying, "be happy with food and clothing. You don't need all these things that you're chasing after." And this was more for me in the past. Now I really don't care too much about anything, you know, other than what I need to keep my YouTubes going. And he's basically saying in food and clothing, I'll take care of your food and clothing, but don't get your mind on the world or anything else. That's how he uses that scripture with me. Forgiveness is obvious. You know, "Forgive men their trespasses. Your heavenly Father will forgive you also." So when you open to forgiveness. Now, I've done something here a little bit different because of the way that I use the Bible promises as an oracle. I will take a blank page and separate two topics that fall on the one that falls on the left and the right. In this case, I open to food and clothing on the left-hand page and forgiveness on the right. And so what I've done is taken the introduction from the book, cut it out of the front of a book, and stuck it in between the pages, so that it either opens to forgiveness or food and clothing, and there's no confusion. Sometimes things seem real difficult, you know, what we're getting involved in, what we're doing. It seems like we're getting a lot of opposition, or we're not sure what's going on. I get fruitfulness at those times. When I get fruitfulness, I think about pruning. So I think to myself, yeah, the Lord is pruning me a little bit. "But I am the vine, and my Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Sometimes that describes to me, helps me to understand why things are so stressed, that there's a pruning going on. And of course, there's the wonderful scriptures there too. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." Oh, that's beautiful, a beautiful promise. "And they shall still bring forth fruit in old age." Yay! "They shall be fat and flourishing." No, I don't want to be fat. Flourishing's fine, but let's leave the fat out. I've already got enough of that. So when I get fruitfulness, it could be that I'm bearing a lot of fruit because I'm abiding in the vine, or the Lord's reminding me, that I can bear nothing outside of him. Or he's doing some pruning and it's a little uncomfortable and he wants us to know this is about pruning. So don't be stressed about it. It's going to bring forth more fruit. You're going to bring forth more fruit because of it. Here's one you don't want to get. Gossip. Oh, when I open to gossip, I tremble. Lord, have I spoken a word? Have I judged someone in my heart? Have I spoken a word of judgment? Have I gossiped? A forward man sows strife, and a whisperer separates friends. Believe it or not, on this particular one about a gossip separating good friends, I've gotten this when the Lord is warning me that the enemy is lying about his character. The enemy is trying to separate me from God by talking about the Lord in deprecating terms and saying, well, he's not going to do this. He's not faithful. He's angry at you. He doesn't want anything to do with you. That's gossip too. So if you start feeling self-condemnation and the Lord doesn't love you, and so many of us fall into that trap, understand that that's a gossiping, lying spirit, and he's trying to separate you from the Lord. Don't listen to him. Your tongue devises mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. And where there's no wood, there the fire goes out. And so when there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And the words of a talebearer are wounds. They go down into the innermost part of the belly. This is really a terrible thing, especially stumbling blocks, people who put down ministries because of what they've heard on the internet and what they think. But they've never been a part of that ministry. They've never sat under that person as a teacher. They're just listening to reports, evil reports that are coming up from different places. And they're not investigating those reports to see how accurate they are or how balanced they are. They're just taking people's words for it. And they become stumbling blocks because every ministry has a gift to share. And no ministry is perfect. There's going to be some error in every ministry. But if you focus on the error, then you negate the good that's there, the gift that that person's been given. They have a gift, and you never get a chance to receive their gift that the Holy Spirit wants to give you because people have gossiped about that person and told all kinds of stories, and you're focusing on that. So it's just as much a sin to be a talebearer as it is to listen to it and to listen to gossip and to be a stumbling block in the kingdom of God is a terrible thing. To put down other people's ministries because you don't agree with something or you think that they're wicked people because that's what is being told to you on the internet. You don't bother to check out their sources because you're lazy. You know, you just take their word for it and go with it. It feels good. You know, yeah, they're really bad, you know. We stay away from them. It's just like a self-righteous thing, but it's extremely destructive, and the judgment that's going to come with stumbling blocks is horrendous because there are so many people out there that need different kinds of ministry, and some of these ministries have what they need, but because they hear a false report and gossip, they won't go to that ministry, so they never get what the Holy Spirit intended for them to have. It's a very serious and sad thing. So gossip is probably one of the worst things that we can do. I remember a story about a monk who told someone came to him talking about how they gossiped. It was a woman, you know. She said how she'd gossiped about so-and-so, and she was confessing it to him. I guess they were Catholic or something. And anyway, he told her, go home and take your feather pillow, rip it open, go to the window in the second story and shake it out. So she went home and she cut open her pillow and she shook it out all over the ground. next week she goes back for confession, and the priest says, "Well, did you do what you were told?" And she said, "Yes, I emptied the pillow out of the second floor window, and feathers flew everywhere." And he said, "Good. Now go home and pick up all the feathers." So you see, that's what gossip does. It's impossible to retrieve the damage that a bad report causes. And the Lord will hold us accountable for every idle word. And when I get gossip, I shake. Because if I've gossiped, then that's really serious. It's a very serious sin. Growth and Grace is another reading I've gotten when things are a little difficult and I've made mistakes and I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and He'll come back and give me growth and grace. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your own hands. It's beautiful. It's a promise. And I pressed on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that you ought to walk to please God, so you will abound more and more. So growth in grace is a comforting one. The Lord is basically saying, yes, I know you blew it, but you're growing. You're growing in grace. Guidance. That's a wonderful one that I get when the Lord is telling me that He's speaking to me. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right, when you turn to the left. This reading is very useful when you're asking the Lord, Lord, is this you speaking to me? You know, when you're sitting in prayer or you're in worship and all of a sudden you feel that the Lord is speaking to you and you want to make sure it's Him. And you bind a lying spirit off of your Bible promises, and then you open it and you get guidance. Wow, that's a wonderful one. It means, yes, I'm speaking to you. You're hearing a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. So that's a beautiful confirmation that you are hearing from the Lord. Another one that makes me shake in my boots is guilt. When the Lord really wants to confront me with something, or when we're counseling a couple or we're counseling someone and we get guilt, it means that there's some things there that need to be confessed, they need to look at, and they need to confront some things that they've done. I don't think the Lord ever gives this to us when someone comes along and they're very contrite over what they've done. Now, this would be for someone who's trying to hide something, and the Lord's just coming, you know, right in their face and saying, you're guilty, you have guilt. And I've gotten that one, and I've gotten that one, and it's no fun. Another good one I get, help in troubles. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows the ones who trust in Him. And though you fall, you will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord holds you up with His hand. You're my hiding place, and you'll preserve me from trouble. You'll compass me about with songs of deliverance. This is a beautiful one, you know, when you're really feeling low. And I've gotten this a few times when, I know when I had to take Ezekiel to the hospital, we asked the Lord through the Bible promises if it was necessary for him to go to the hospital. And we got Holy Spirit and help in troubles. So off to the hospital we went, and he had an emergency surgery. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And the Lord will not cast off forever. Now, this is the second page of Help in Troubles. And when I get this one, this is a one that's acknowledging my sin, but talking about the Lord's mercy. The Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Or another one on the second page of Help in Troubles is, Rejoice not against me, my enemy, when I fall. I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. So when I get that, that's again kind of like guilt. Yes, you've sinned. You've missed the mark. Oh, and here's my favorite one in the whole book, Holy Spirit. Oh, I love it when I open to this page. Or this has got actually four pages in the book of different scriptures. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. This is another one that will confirm a word from the Lord. So if you hear a word or you're starting to get a message, you want to make sure it's the Lord speaking to you, and you stop and bind a lying spirit off your Bible promises, and then seek the Lord about, ask Holy Spirit to show you, is this you? And if you open to Holy Spirit, wow, that's the best news you could possibly get. Put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. The anointing you've received abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. This is what I'm trying to do on our channel, guys. I'm trying to help you get to the point where you don't need a teacher, where you're totally relying on the Holy Spirit. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and it has taught you, you shall abide in him. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He that searches the hearts knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, the one reading that follows, this is honesty. So again, I've taken a page from this book and ripped it out and slipped it in between the last page of Holy Spirit and the first page of honesty on the right-hand side. So there's no confusion when I open to which thing the Lord is pointing me. Let's see what else we've got here. Hope. I get that when things seem really dark. Oh my gosh, I get that a lot when I've blown it. It's like the Lord is saying, there's hope for you. There's hope. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you. Every man has this hope in him, purifies himself. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous has hope in his death. The hope is laid up for you in heaven. So there's all kinds of things in here. Christ within you, the hope of glory, that speak to our hearts and say, don't give up on yourself. There's hope. Hospitality. When I get that reading, it's usually about feeding or clothing someone, taking care of their needs in some way. Give hospitality one to another without grudging. Another time that the Lord has given this to us is about using our gifts, like the gift of music or the gift of writing. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So sometimes I prefer to take hospitality as something corporal works of mercy, like buying something for someone if we have the money, or taking a food box to someone, or taking someone to the store. An elderly lady who lives up front, seeing to it that she has a way to get to the store, and helping her with her grocery shopping. That's that's hospitality. Sometimes I'll even get that when the Lord wants us to put someone up for a time. Humility. I get this a lot, and that's because I have a lot of pride. So the Lord is continually admonishing me that whoever will humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever shall exalt himself will be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. My heart always sinks when I get humility, because that means that the Lord is saying, your pride is active again. It's causing problems. And that's really painful. But I want to know. I want to know when that pride is getting up there. I beg him to tell me when I'm starting to fall into pride. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's under humility also. Now, here's another instance where the last page of humility... Now, the Bible promises that you get will probably be arranged differently. But the last page of humility butts up against joy. So I've put a fly sheet between joy and the last page of humility, so I know which one it is when I open to it. Here's another one we get a lot. Laziness and diligence. And that just means work hard. Apply yourself. Another time I get it is when, let's say my mind is straying, I'm on the internet and I'm really curious about what so-and-so had to say about prophetic events or whatever catches your eye, you know how that goes. And I go over to that page and I start listening, but then when I go to the Lord for a rhema about something, I get laziness, and under that it says, drink water from your own cistern. But in one of the versions, it does say, drink water from your own cistern. And that's pretty important, because that means, you know, don't listen to other prophetic voices. You've got the Lord with you, and you need to be focused on what he says to you. And I went by the field of the slothful and the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and it was grown over with thorns. Don't love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes. And the way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. So laziness, we are continually reminded to work harder.